Revelation 21. And we'll begin to read there. I will be honest with you, tonight I was looking to kind of go somewhere else tonight, but I feel like the Lord has kind of dropped me back into another area. And as we drop back, I pray that it'll be a blessing to us tonight. But let's just start here in Revelation 21. We'll just read the first few verses. I won't read the whole chapter. We'll just kind of focus on a couple verses there. Verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This city is already prepared, and it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I will just look at that a little bit more in detail. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." This is certainly something we look forward to, and this is a church that I want to attend. Because in this church, they have no funerals. Amen. There's no sickness. There's no heartache. There's no pain. Amen. This is the kind of church I want to go to. Amen. So we're striving all to get there. And we said in our beginning lessons, if we want to go there, amen, we need to start acting now like we want to be there. And amen, let's conduct ourselves in that manner. Verse 5 says this, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So important. Sometimes we classify sin. Y'all know how we are. This person is, if you're a murderer, you're worse than a liar. If you're this, then you're worse than that. But that's not the way God see it. Amen. All liars, whoremongers, murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, all of them going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And this verse 9 says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Amen. We'll stop our reading there in the scripture. We'll just kind of maybe pick up a little bit more here in our future home. Last week, and maybe I'll just for a quick refresher, we talked about this on last week. This is I think I might have missed one quote from last week, and I want to go back and get it. If you would, give me a paragraph 195 out of the Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom. That's page 26 for you all, those of you all that have your book, page 26. And we want to just kind of catch something here. And this will take us a little further in our lesson. Brother Branham makes the comment here. He says, now, that's what we was talking the other day, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. See, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word, not some system, but have a clear understand. How do you know the word is clear? Understand it. Watch it vindicate itself. See, well, you say, I see this do it and that. Oh, yes, weeds live the same way, see, but it's got to be the entire word. To be the bride, you have to be part of him. He is the word, see? And what a part of him, and what a part of him is it? The word that's promised for this day when he calls his bride. Be a part of that. Now, that's very important. Because this, you know, the scripture, just leave it right there for me on that quote. But the scripture, in verse 9 says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, if we're going to be able to recognize the bride will be a part of the word. And not just the word, but the word for this day. The bride's going to be a part of the word for this day. Now, this is going to be very important. If you all just in your Bibles, just turn back really quick to Revelation 19. Verse 7, and we're going to kind of get to talking a little bit tonight about the bride, amen. And I'll just touch that really quickly, but I'm going to get really into the bride here. Everybody ain't bride. I just have to just be honest with you. You know, you got many of churches that would call themselves the bride, but everybody not bride. The bride is going to be a part of the word for her day. In the fullness of it. Amen. Now, this city that we're talking about here in Revelation, you know, 21, is as a bride adorned for her husband. That means, you know, if a bride is already adorned, she's already made preparation for what's getting ready to happen. If we've set a wedding date, me and Sister Erica set our wedding date to May 1st, you know, and that day come, and, you know, Sister Erica hadn't been making preparation all along, you know, for that day, then we would have had a mess on our hands, right? I mean, we establish a date that this is the date we're going to get married. Now, she go out, she start going to Miami and getting materials and finding the shoes that she want the girls to wear. And, you know, she's just doing all the preparation work, you know, all getting ready for that one great day. And what we're doing right now, church, is we're making a lot of preparation for this great day. Amen. That's what's going on. That's why you're coming to church, because you're making preparation for a great day. Now, I got so many quotes that I can read here, but I'm going to just share these things with you. You know, I probably had to, I had to wonder, you know, or not whether Sister Erica would take my hand in marriage. I had to go, you know, man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she's going to take my hand in marriage, you know, and any other brother that's asked someone to marry him, you know, you got to wonder whether she's going to take your hand in marriage. She might reject you and go to somebody else. But when it comes to marrying the Lord Jesus, you all had no choice. He already knew that you was going to take him. Oh, my. There's a quote, I won't bring it, but Brother Branham made this comment. He says, he slipped the wedding band of grace on your finger before you were even born. He knew that once the word came across your path, you were going to accept it. That's what made you part of the bride, because you could take the word for your day. Very important. I'm not talking about the word for Moses' day and Noah's day and all that. I'm talking about the word for your day. Can you take the word for your day? Oh, my. Give me this scripture here. And that let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath, that's past tense, made herself ready. Amen. I can just let you know that the marriage that we're talking about to the Lord Jesus is taking place right now. It's what we call an invisible union that's taking place. You don't even realize it's happening.
But you're falling more in love with the Word of God every day. And you know who the Word of God is? The Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you falling more in love with Him every day. And Lord, help me to just kind of get into that. Let me just back up just a little bit, because I that's where I want to go tonight. Last week, just kind of bringing it up, the millennium, we've been talking about this. Millennium type, the seventh day, where God rested in Genesis. We talked about that. Genesis, God rested on the seventh day after He created everything. Man was His final creation on the sixth day. But the millennium, when we go to the millennium, where we are right now, this is not the day of Moses. This is not the day of Noah. This is not the day of John the Baptist. Not the day where Jesus came for His first coming. That's not the time that we're living in. We're living in a time where we expect the second coming of the Lord. There's certain promises in the Scripture that are laid out for us that we have to be watching those signs, watching the signs of the time as we wait for the second coming of the Lord. One of the great signs that we had to watch for is that He said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord." He said that in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, very last verse in the Old Testament. He tells us that. That's a great sign that we want to look for. Understanding the day in which you live in is very, very important. See, I mean, again, if you can't accept the word for your day, everybody can accept the word, and we talked about that priest. He accepted it for days past, but when Jesus come walking the earth that day, he had a hard time accepting him as the Messiah. And that showed that even though he was very religious, he had no representation by predestination. There was nothing on the inside of him to accept the word for that day. Everybody can, Moses is a prophet. Noah was a prophet. Everybody can accept that. But can they take Brother Branham being a prophet? That's very important. Being able to, and not just because Brother Jack said it, but because you recognize it in the Scripture. If you can't see it in the Scripture, that's going to be a big problem. But you have to be able to recognize the word for your day. I think there's a message that I might have out there on the shelf. Recognizing your message and its day. See, very important. Here, we brought in last week the millennium types, the seventh day. We're in the final days of the Gentile dispensation, the Gentile church ages. We're in the final day of that, the seven church ages where we're living at right now. There is no more church ages after us. It's over after this. What happens after God calls the Gentile bride into the rapture? The word goes back to the Jews for 3.5 years. It's called the tribulation period. The Jews will at that time begin to understand they rejected Messiah, but now they will accept Messiah, okay, during that 3.5 year period. God will deal with 144,000, all those things there in the book of Revelation. After that 3.5 year period, happens, then we enter into a millennium. Now, millennium, sin still exists. Satan still exists. During the millennium, he's just bound where he can't trouble us no more. And I like that. And my God, he can't mess with you at all. You know, he's bound with what they call a chain of circumstance. He can't do anything. There's nobody for the devil to work through. There's nothing for him to use. He is bound for 1,000 years. Now, that's a type because Adam and Eve failed to live their 1,000 years. Adam fell in sin. Eve fell in sin. And when you look in the Scripture, I think Adam was 900 and something years old before he died. He failed to live his 1,000 years. Well, God has brought it back again where now we are going to live that 1,000 years the way that Adam and Eve were supposed to do it at the beginning. That's what the millennium is all about. But that's a type of the seventh day. Brother Branham was bringing in not just we're moving not just from the seventh day, but could you just bring this scripture up for me, Leviticus 23:36, real quick? And he was bringing a type because somebody said, he said, you know, maybe y'all thinking that I'm out of days now because I done reached millennium, but what do I have after the millennium? And he brought in the scripture, Leviticus 23:36, and he said, all the scriptures written for a purpose because it all must be fulfilled. And when we look here at this Leviticus 23:36, it says something there that really is very striking. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord on the eighth day. Now, how many days are there in a week? Well, this scripture is telling us on the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Now, and what Brother Branham brought to our attention here is the eighth day holy convocation, it deals with new creation, or it means that we step into eternity. As if you count on your, on, you know, if you just count on your hand the 7 days, we start with Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm at 7 days. But when I get to the eighth day, I'm right back at Sunday again. And what that means is that when you hit the eighth day in God's time, we stepped into eternity. It's like a circle, like a ring. It's endless. There's no start. There's no end. Amen. So when you see the scripture speaking of an eighth day, it's talking about us stepping into eternity. And since we're already at the seventh church age, and when this church age comes to an end, church, we're getting closer and closer to stepping into eternity. As the bride, we'll already go there. There'll be some time left for the Jews, but as the bride, we'll be moving right on into eternity, the eighth day. That's what we were last week. Now, let's just kind of bring this on forward. New heavens and new earth is dealing with that eighth day or eternity. It's not the millennium. The new heavens and the new earth is eternity. Praise the Lord. We talked about, I just read the scripture, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. Also over here in Revelation 21, verse 2 and verse 9, I want to read real quick. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We're going to hit this a little bit later on. Jesus made the comment in John chapter 14, I believe it was. I might be quoting that wrong. Let me just pull it real quick. Yes, John 14. Let's pull that up. John 14. People be quoting this and really don't know what they be quoting. John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. It's as a bride, this city, this New Jerusalem, is as a bride adorned. It's coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what the city is like. Here in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. We hear this so often, especially at funeral services. People always begin to quote this particular scripture, but I don't know. Even, you know, I think even for ourselves, I'll be honest, I think we've gone to so many funerals that we have let the word of God not become real to us. It's just something that we quote all the time. But there's a day coming that there'll be no more funeral services. Amen. Amen. And there's a church that we're going to go to, and they're not going to have funeral services there in that church. That's the sanctuary that I want to go to, you know. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, we know that this is the way that they translate the scripture. Really, mansions inside of a house really is not the right way that that's supposed to be translated. But in my Father's kingdom are many palaces, is the way that we translate that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And look at what Jesus says. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Go one more verse. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Scripture in Revelation 21:2 is also tied right there to John 14. Brother Branham's going to bring that out here a little bit later on. I John saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Jesus is there preparing the city for us right now. He's there preparing it for us right now. And church, I guarantee when he calls us, it's going to be ready. Amen. Like I said, if my wife was just getting ready on that day, if she didn't have her shoes and have a dress, I mean, here the day of the wedding, she's going out to try to buy the dress. Something is wrong with that picture. Amen. I mean, you know, and many of y'all have been to weddings where everybody, I mean, it's just late, and you don't want to be, I mean, you really don't want to be late on your wedding day. You do all you can to try to be there on time, all right? But here, you know, you the one getting married, but you ain't got all your material ready. You out there on the wedding day trying to get fitted for a dress, trying to get shoes, trying to get a hairpiece. You can't do that on your wedding day. See, and we got to see this. We got to see this in the spiritual realm. You know, I mean, it's wedding time right now. See, are we not? We're not going when we go when we leave here. You know, the Bible said we're going to the marriage supper. Now, you know what the marriage supper is? It's after we get married. That's when we go eat. Right? We go to what they call that after the reception. See? Amen. Thank God I've been invited to the reception too. Yeah. But we go to reception after the Bible said we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All right, so the wedding is taking place right here and right now. Now this is very important for you to understand some of the things that happens here in this wedding. And it's, Jesus said it's prepared as a bride. If the bride is prepared and she's adorned for her husband, ready for that day, then that's the way this city is for us. Now, I want you to look at a couple things. If we could just pull this quote. Now, this is where my give me choosing of a bride, please, paragraph 31. Focused in here on these verse 2 and verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, I want to just take a look at a couple things here. Brother Branham made some comments, and I'm just blessed by it. So there's a couple things that happened. Just hold that quote there for me. The marriage, and I'm just reading a quick quote here out of The Marriage of the Lamb. Marriage, in one sense, the earthly marriage here is a type of the heavenly marriage. He said, let's go over it just for a few moments to rehearse in a moment. It says the first thing has to happen is a decision have to be made. Just leave that quote there. First thing have to happen is a decision have to be made. When I approached Sister Erica, she had to decide whether she was going to take me or not. I wasn't the only guy in the world. She could have chosen anybody else that she wanted to choose. But she had to make a choice that whether she's going to choose me or not. Now, when she makes that choice, and I've made that, you know, hey, we'd like to get to know each other. And she's made that choice. Now, I'm her choice. She can't be kind of playing the field with somebody else when she done said that she done chose me. And if I'd have proposed to ask her, hey, let's get to know each other, I can't be going over to ask the next sister, can I get to know you too? And can I get to know you too? Just in case Sister Erica say no. Or if Sister Erica and I have a problem, then I can just kind of slip over here. Come on now, somebody. I'm gonna work with this tonight. Because it's the way we treat Jesus. As soon as a little problem come up, we're ready to slip right out on the Lord Jesus. Amen. When you make your choice, your decision, I mean, it's you know, you should have prayed about that and said, Lord, this is what I want to do. See? And not be playing the field. Amen. You can't hold on to God and the devil at the same time. Can't serve God and mammon at the same time. It's got to be all God or no God. Oh, my. All right, let me just, the next thing happens after you made your decision, y'all get to know each other. Brother Ram said, the next thing come is an engagement. And, you know, you make it that engagement is like, you know, we are committed to getting married to one another. And when I'm engaged, and I get engaged to her, in God's eyes, I'm good as married to her. Amen. In God's eyes, I am good as married to her. That goes right back to the scripture, Joseph was told, fear not to take Mary, your espoused wife. his engaged wife. But the scripture called him, the angel said, called Mary his wife, even though they had not gotten married physically. But the scripture, because they were engaged, God looked at that promise to get married as being just as good as being married. Now, they didn't have the ability to do things that married people do during the engagement phase. Don't get the wrong revelation. Amen. You still had to come before the preacher and get it finalized. But God still saw you married. So what I'm telling you there is, and see, this is why I said I felt led to go a little different. A little different. I think this might be necessary tonight. What I'm telling you in that is that when you get engaged, you're just as good as married. Now, that does not mean you have the ability to go and do some of the things that married people do, but you can't break that engagement and go get married to somebody else. That's the way God looks at it very seriously. Amen. All right. After the engagement, Brother Branham says a promise is made. And the promise is, you know, if you'll marry me, I promise that I'll be loyal and true to you. I will look upon no other woman. I'll look upon no other man. I'll do all that as a duty as a wife. If we have children, I'll do all as a duty as a mother. I'll be a housekeeper. All these promises has got to be made or should be in a correct wedding. All right. Now, and the last thing he says that happens is a ceremony takes place, and in the ceremony you take on his name. Amen. We're going into that a little bit later. Here I want you to just see something out of Choosing of a Bride. We're going to work with a little bit of this. Brother Branham goes and says, in many things of life we're given a choice. The way of life itself is a choice. We have the right to make our own way, choose our own way that we want to live. Education is a choice. We can choose whether we're going to be educated or whether we're not going to be educated. That's a choice that we have. Right and wrong is a choice. Every man, every woman, boy and girl has to choose whether they're going to try to live right or not live right. That's your choice to choose whether to live right or not live right. Amen? It's a choice. Choice is a great thing. Your eternal destination is a choice. And maybe tonight some of you will make that choice where you will spend eternity. Before the service ends tonight, there'll be one time that if you turn God down many times, there'll be one time you'll turn him down the last time. If you turn God down many times, one time is going to be the last time. There were some young people one time went to church, Brother Branham's services, and they come up to the altar and they was just crying and sobbing, and Brother Branham just looked at them. He said, they crossed the line. Say, there's no hope for them. They crossed the line. Don't let that ever be your testimony. One day you really desire to get right with God, but now you done crossed the line. You can't do it. Amen. Listen. You'll turn them down the last time. There's a line between mercy and judgment. It's a dangerous thing for a man or woman, boy or girl, to step across that line. But there's no return when you step across that deadline. So tonight it might be the time that many will make their decision where they will spend the endless eternity. There's another choice that we live in life. That's a life's companion. A young man or a young woman stepping out on life has been given a right to make a choice. The young man chooses. The young woman has a right to accept or reject it. Listen, but it's still a choice on both sides. Both man and woman, they have a right to choice. Also, you have a choice as a Christian. Listen what it says. You have a choice of the church here in America so far that you can go to. That's your own American privilege to choose any church that you want to belong to. That's a choice. You don't have to go to any of them if you don't want to. But if you want to change from the Methodist to the Baptist or the Catholic to a Protestant or so forth, there's nobody can tell you or make you come to any certain church. That's our freedom. That's what our democracy is. Every man can choose for himself freedom of religion. That's a great thing. God help us to keep it as long as we can. It says you have also a choice when you choose this church. You can choose whether you in this church, whether you will choose a church that will guide you to your eternal destination, You can choose a church that has a certain creed that you might think that creed is just what you want, or the church has, or the other church has their creed. And then, listen to this, there's the Word of God. You have a choice of. You have to make the choice. There's an unwritten law among us of choosing. Says, I believe it was Elijah one time up on Mount Carmel after the showdown in a great hour of crisis. We're just about to come to right now. Perhaps it may be to you or I tonight that we make this choice like the Mount Carmel experience. Frankly, I think it's going on worldwide now, but there will soon be a time where that you'll have to make a choice. And that Mount Carmel experience was, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. See, if you're going to serve God, let's serve God. If you're going to serve Baal, let's serve Baal. Idolatry. Skip down to paragraph 46 for me, please. Amen. I want to just kind of drop this in. Glory to God. Even right now, the bride is getting herself ready. The wedding is taking place right now. As I present the word to you tonight, you have a choice to either accept it or reject it. As the word of God comes to you every week, you have a choice to accept it or reject it. Those that accept it and identify with it, they're identifying with the word for their day. That's how they can call themselves bride. See, but those that reject the word for their day, amen, they're living in another day. You can't be a part of the bride for that day. You got to be a part of the bride for this day, because this is the day that you're living in. Listen, Brother Branham goes on and says, now, the natural is a type of the spiritual. The type of choosing the bride in spiritual. In the spiritual. Now, it's a serious thing when we go to choose a wife. A man, for the vows here is until death do we part. That's how we should keep it. And you take that vow before God that only death will separate you. And I think we should. A man in his right mind that's planning a future, that he should choose that wife very careful. Now, there was a story that Brother Branham tells about going out and hanging with this rancher. And as he was out there with the rancher, he saw this little small calf. He said, that calf sold for about $11,000. He couldn't believe it. He said, man, that little itty-bitty calf. He said, you know, I just saw one way bigger than that one sold for $300. So he said, the rancher said, man, if I had the money, I'd buy that little calf right there. If I had the money, I'd take that one right there. He said, well, you know, pardon me for asking, but looked like the one that I saw for $300 was way better than this one right here for $11,000. He said, oh, you don't know nothing about animals. You don't know nothing about these little animals. He say, we're not looking at how big they are, how plump they are. And I mean, look like, boy, that's a healthy animal right there. We're not looking at that. Say, but what I do is I look them in the eye. So I look at that cat, I look at that calf in the eye. And he say, if they got what they call wild, starry eyes, he say, not only is the wild, starry eye gonna be in that calf, but every child that calf, every female that mother has will also have those same wild, starry eyes. And what that means is that wild, starry eye will never stay home and take care of the children. That wild, starry eye will always be running out to a club somewhere. Always doing this. Always, I mean, church. I ain't got time for church. You got to watch out for the one with the wild, starry eye. So when you're choosing a wife or you're choosing a husband, look, a man that's looking for a wife, he don't go to the bar to get a wife. That's not where he want to go. He can come to the church to get a wife. Now, young sisters, please know this. Because when you see a great influx of young men, they might be coming for a purpose. And oftentimes, what they want to do is get themselves a wife so then they can go right on back out and keep doing the things that they were doing. You be home stuck with the kids, and they'll be out doing whatever they was doing. But they can tell everybody, I got a wife. Not only that, they got tax benefits. So be careful. Even if that boy got a wild, starry eye, you want to be careful. Watch him because, you know, he's not going to stay home and be with the kids at night, be with the family at night. He's going to be with the fellas. Amen. See, he'll run the streets too. So you got to be careful as to what you're looking for. Pray about that. Sincerely pray about that. I'm using this as a type tonight because, you know, the bride, the lamb's wife, she's already made herself ready for this event that we're talking about, this millennium, and after the millennium, a new heaven, new earth. The bride has made herself ready. And the same way in the scripture tells us here that the city is coming down from God. It looks like a bride that's already prepared. Now, I'm going to walk y'all through some basic lessons of life tonight just to get you prepared, not only for this new heaven and new earth, but some of the things you got to get prepared for right here on this earth. Got to drop these things in. Whenever you listen, he says here, a man in his right mind that's planning the future, that you should choose that wife very careful. Now, remember, young lady, you have the opportunity to make a choice too. You don't have to just accept anything that the devil brings. Praise the Lord anyway. And listen, when you get desperate, the devil know about it. The devil know about it. When you start feeling a little antsy and everybody else and not me, and you know I'm always a bridesmaid, but I'm never a bride. The devil know about that feeling. And he got certain people to send your way that'll take you off the path. Amen. You got to know, you got to pray about what you're doing. This is serious business. Amen. Listen. He says, a man is right mind is planning the future, that he should choose that wife very careful. Be careful what you're doing. And a woman choosing a husband or accepting the choice of a husband should be real careful what she's doing, and especially in these days. Now, that's the prophet said that in 1965. It is 2011. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I went to get my car fixed just recently. I walked in there. Want to get some tires. I get to the counter, and I'm working with a gentleman over here, but I see somebody over there with real low haircut and thinking, boy, that's not no guy. What? Hair lowers mine. There ain't no guy. No. Wait a minute. Had to kind of wait for them to get up, stand up. When they stood up, I said, oh, yeah, there ain't no guy. But know more about the car than the guy know about the car. You just getting all infatuated by stuff. And folk can do stuff now that they can fool you, you know, to some degree. And even nowadays, you know, Brother Ramsey, even the food that we eat now, where the men's hips are getting bigger than the women's hips. See? You got to be careful with what you're getting. And look, there are some people, there are some folk that done got married, found out after they got married that they mate was not what they thought they was. It wasn't a man, and especially if they're trying to force you into a quick marriage. Lord, I'm just being real with you tonight. They don't force you. I mean, they really trying. I mean, you know, oh boy, ain't nobody ever bought me all this stuff before. They must really love me. Your parents bought it for you, see? But that ain't love. Amen. See, but you know the thing of it is, y'all be careful as to what you get yourself into. You don't realize how the devil set you up.
Yeah, that's right.
You done married a woman. Thought you was marrying a man. Amen. And especially when you can't bring them to church. You can't let your mom and them say, well, I don't want to meet your mom. I don't want to meet your mom. Oh, no, I don't want to meet your dad. Last time I met somebody's dad, it just didn't go too well. That should be a red flag. Right there. Stop light. Stop. Right there. Go no further with this relationship. Be careful. Y'all be very, very careful as to what you get involved with. Brother Branham is just really letting us know here. Don't let the devil set you up here. Let me keep going. My God. Especially in these days, a man should think and pray before he chooses a wife. Now, and please, y'all. You know, I tell the story all the time about the husband and wife that the husband got a job. And it was moving from that state to somewhere else, that city to another city. Went home, told his wife, boy, it's big. You're going to get all this extra money. Went home, told his wife. Wife said, oh, this is great. She said, shouldn't we pray about it? And he said, you pray and I'll pack. What he was saying is that I already got my mind made up, so I'm not even going to pray about it. And oftentimes, we as human beings, we already have our mind made up as to what we're going to do, so it ain't no sense in us even praying. And the book of Jeremiah said that they dissembled in their hearts. They already knew what they was going to do, but they told Jeremiah to go pray about it. You don't have to pray about nothing like this. Listen, if you better make sure that they got character. You better make sure that you've seen them in church for a good while. Check with their pastor to see what type of, you know. Are they faithful? They come all the time? Because I'm not there. I'm trusting your word now. Especially in a long-distance relationship, you better get to know that pastor. We only see him like Easter and Christmas. He come here. You hear the pastor say something like that, you know that fella is not faithful. Amen. Listen, if he ain't faithful to God, he won't be faithful to you. It's just the truth. Young lady, if that young man is not faithful to God, he won't be faithful to you. Young man, if that young lady ain't faithful to God, she ain't going to be faithful to you. Amen. It won't happen. My God, my God, my God. See? But, you know, we need to just like this city is being prepared, you know, you want somebody right now that's kind of preparing themselves for, you know, their future mate. You know, I mean, you know, a young lady get of a certain age, she to start making preparation, expecting someday that the Lord might call me into marriage. Young man ought to be thinking the same thing, not just all of a sudden wake up one day, whoo. What preparation is being made right now? Oh, God. Jesus is preparing a city for us. It's going to be like a bride already adorned, already prepared. That means she already fixed up, ready for the wedding day. See? But what are you doing right now to prepare for that? Amen. Listen, right now the best time. When you're single, this is the best time for you to save some money. I feel ashamed of myself as a young man. I just didn't have no money, just spending up everything I had. I feel ashamed. I remember, you know, I'm just telling myself. But I, you know, as a young person, you're always trying to show parents, I ain't got to come to you to ask no money. Because you done heard them stories. What you doing with your money? You don't like hearing that. What you doing with your money? You working? You ain't paying no bills. What you doing with your money? So you try to avoid your parents. You go to other people to try to get it. Your friends. Let me get $5. Let me get $10. You don't go to mom and daddy no more. Because you don't want to hear that. You don't want that. You know that sermon. You know the sermon that's getting ready to come. And if they don't say nothing right then, they're going to save it up. I gave you $10. What you doing with your money? You avoid your parents. I was the same way. And I remember I'm avoiding my parents, and I was like, boy, I'm broke. But I got to put gas in this car because I'm working out here at Pratt Whitney. I got to get to work, but I can't tell Daddy I ain't got no gas. I found a piggy bank. Piggy jar, whatever you want to call it. All pennies. Walked into the gas station. This is what I got. This man had to sit there and count all them pennies out to get that. And for me, I'm like, I hope ain't nobody behind me to see all this. I should have been making preparation. And there's things you can do. You pay 10% tithes. Pay 10% in savings. And listen, don't try to have your own savings account. Give the money to your parents and let them save it for you.
Amen.
Right? Because what you're going to do is spend it. Amen. Praise God anyway. I told y'all I was going to go a different route tonight. But this all right there at Revelation 21. Because I'm talking about this city that's Jesus already going to prepare it, you know, in the same way that he's going to prepare it is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the way we need to be prepared. Amen. Not just for going to that city, but even in natural life. Let's just break it down to natural life tonight. Let me keep reading. If you would, just skip down the paragraph 51, please. Okay. And if we would study what we're doing when we're going to get married, when we choose our wife, our husband, if we study it over, a man should pray earnestly, for he could ruin his entire life. Remember, the vow is until death do we part. And he could ruin his life by making the wrong choice. But if he knows he making the wrong choice and is marrying a woman that isn't fit to be his wife, he does it anyhow, then it's his fault. Same thing with the young lady. If she know that young man, she knows she shouldn't do that. She know it. Everything telling her don't do it. But she go do it anyway. It's her fault. Amen. Another preacher made a comment. Lord, I don't want to. You can't marry a lemon and expect lemonade. I'm talking to y'all before you get married. You cannot marry a lemon and expect lemonade. I don't care how sweet you are. If that person is bitter, they just bitter. You can't change anybody. Amen. Only God can change them. Amen. And if God don't change them, you just got to deal with what you got. Amen. Brother Branham say, it's going to take grace. That's what it say. It's going to take grace for you to endure. It's just bottom line, church. I mean, it's going to take grace. So you young sisters and young brothers that's not married yet, you make sure you pray about these things. Don't just jump into anything. Don't do that. Amen. All right, listen. If a woman takes a husband and knows that he's not fit to be a husband to you, then that's your own fault. After you know what's right and wrong, see, after tonight, you're going to know what's right and wrong. See? I had to just kind of stop. I mean, because the eighth day. Uh-huh. Some of us got to live today before we can get into the eighth day, so we better talk about this right now. Amen. Listen, you know what's right and wrong, so you shouldn't do it until you thoroughly pray through. And I don't think you just pray through. You should talk it over with your parents too. Have them pray with you. That's a sad thing for somebody. Well, I've been praying about it, and you know God said no to it, but I've been praying about it. People like to use those spiritual words. You know, you praying about something that God done already said no to? Come on now. You shouldn't even be unequally yoked with nobody. If they're not even in the message, you know you're not supposed to be talking to them. That's already a big no. Well, they Christians. I'm trying to tell y'all, everybody ain't the bride. Just because they go to church, that means nothing. Can they take the word for their day? You want to see if they can take the word for their day? Bring them to a message church. I just need to know, do you got representation? What? What you talking about? I'm talking about representation by predestination. What? I never heard nothing like that. I just need to know, do you have that? Well, I tell you what, since you don't know, I'm going to need you to come to church with me. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm not picking you up. I'm going to give you Brother So-and-so's number, the pastor's number, and he'll arrange a ride for you. Amen. If it's a young lady, young man, don't bring her. Don't bring her. Send somebody else. Let somebody else bring her. She get here, don't be sitting next to her either. Move as far apart so don't nobody even look like nothing going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, let one of the sisters go get her. And then let them develop that relationship just as sisters. See? Same thing with young men. Let them develop a relationship with the other young men and just forget about them. Invite them to church and just forget about them. And let them get there for, I'm talking about years. I'm not talking about no days. Mama, he came to church on Wednesday. He came to church on Friday. He was there on Sunday, Mama. I'm talking about years. Let him prove himself over years. Because you know what's going to happen if you sit around here for just a little bit? Eventually, this word going to find you right where you're sitting at. And it's going to challenge you to do some things that you never heard nobody challenge you to do before. But that's what the truth is supposed to do. The truth is supposed to make you free. Amen. See? Amen. Everywhere you go, they're not going to teach you the truth. But when you come in contact with truth, okay, and can I take the word for my day? That's the key. See? So you want to see if you got representation by predestination? You'll see. Anybody can quote scriptures. Anybody, amen. Boy. Anybody. Amen. So just keep sitting there quoting them scriptures. Keep sitting there. All of a sudden, a message will come out of nowhere. Wham! Boy, never heard nothing like that. I don't know if I can go back. Right there, you know, representation is not there. Brother Branham said, none seed, there's nothing to quicken. Nothing. So you just let them go. And then when they come, well, I tried your church. Maybe you ought to try mine because your pastor kind of hard. My pastor, no, he just, anything go. No, I realize you don't have what I need. I'm going to just move. God bless you. Amen. You got to leave it like that. Praise God anyway. I hope this helps somebody. All right. Lord. The final part of this quote. The same applies by choosing a church. Now, you must pray over the church that you have fellowship in here. See, the same thing, when you choosing a mate for life, you also have to you pray over that mate that you either going to ask to marry you or, if you got some questions, I mean some serious questions about the relationship, don't be asking nobody to marry you. You need to make sure your heart is settled, because if it ain't settled now in this early stage, you're going to have some trouble on your hand later on. Make sure you done discussed a lot of stuff. See, amen. And young lady, just because he down on his knee, there's some things I'm just not comfortable with just yet. I mean, I do have feelings for you. I don't want you to feel that bad about it, but it's some things. What is it? Can we talk about it and work through it? And I need you to, I want to be honest with you, and I want you to be honest with me. Well, come on. If he can't respect you right now, I'm serious. If he can't respect you right now, you in trouble. You make sure, look, young lady, make sure you get his respect. And see, I mean, you got to make sure you establish yourself early on. See, and then that once you establish yourself early on, when you get him, then you can just let it. Then now you can let it down. But he respects you now. You like Brother Diggs say, you're not standing out there at the Chinese restaurant in the food court. Free samples. You don't give those up. No, you don't get no free samples here, my friend. No. This is Chick-fil-A. Either you want it or you don't want it. But we not cutting up no chicken over here to give to nobody. You see the free sample guy standing right in front of Chick-fil-A. And the Chick-fil-A ain't standing out there with no. You either want it or you don't want it. And man, this is the most expensive fast food I ever take. You either want it or you don't want it. And we're going to be closed on Sunday too. That's all right. Thank God for it, you know. But you have to establish yourself early on. You ain't like that. I ain't like the other girls that you done met. And I won't be like the other girls you done met. Amen. You have to establish yourself. What good is to have your name on the bathroom wall? Your name and your telephone number. All over the boys' locker room. That's a shame to have a name like that. Amen. Keep yourself so that your name is not over like that. Amen. You have to, you, if you don't respect yourself, ain't nobody else gonna respect you. Just bottom line. Look, all you need is one. I mean, you're not trying to marry a 30, 40. You're just marrying one. One good one. One good one. That's all you need. Amen. Praise God. All right. The same applies by choosing a church. You must pray over that church that you are fellowshipping in. Remember, churches carry spirit. Now, I don't want to be critical, but I realize that I'm an old man, and I got to leave here one of these days. I got to answer at the day of judgment for what I say tonight or any other time. Now, therefore, I gotta be dead earnest and truly convicted. But you go into a church, if you watch the behavior of that church, you just watch the pastor a while. And you'll usually find that the church acts like the pastor. The pastor is a gossiper. Everybody in the church gossip. The pastor got a critical spirit. Everybody in the church criticize this, criticize that, criticize that. The pastor is a loving person. I've seen that. I watch brother. Some of y'all know Brother Beckett from South Africa. Brother Beckett, very humble, very. He barely talked. He's a very well-respected man in the message. He does so much. Some of those books that I've given you all. No, MP3s that I gave every family. Brother Beckett gave that to me while I was down there in South Africa, and even sent me some more, sent me extras, all for free. Just want to give. And I just watch his spirit. But before I met Brother Beckett, I met one of his members, Brother Shane. And Brother Shane was coming to the church, and, you know, I'm sitting there, and after church, I have to go and, I was a trustee and the deacon and the pastor and everything. So after church, you know, with the offering, I go back and I make sure the offering's all counted up to get the money deposited in the bank. And when I did that, Brother Shane just be sitting out there in the church just waiting on me to take him home. So he did it about 3 weeks in a row just sitting there. So then one day he come up to me. He says, Brother Jack, do you mind if I play on the keyboard while I'm waiting on you? No, I don't mind. Go ahead. Brother stepped over there and started playing on the keyboard. I say, this man know how to play the keyboard, and just we're sitting here with no music, and he got the talent. I say, man, from now on, you on the keyboard when we come to church. And me and him connected just like that. I mean, things that he knew that I wanted to do in my song, he'd be ready to do it on the keyboard. And I'm sitting there going on, and you know, I emailed the brother, said, man, we got this brother from South Africa, from Cape Town. His name, Brother Shane Sepkit. You know, he coming to our church to fellowship with us. He said, brother, email me, say, brother, that brother's one of the best bass players in all of South Africa. I said, what? So I got with Brother Shane. Brother Shane, I understand that you're one of the best bass players there is. Yeah, brother. What? Humble, allow God to just make room for his gift. Don't try to force himself. That's the same way Brother Beckett was. The spirit that was on the pastor was on one of his people. And I could appreciate that. I could appreciate that. That's why it's so important. Brother Branham said, you know, these choices, again, I'm kind of deviating just a little bit tonight from our deep teaching. I want to just hit some surface things tonight. Amen. Let me just finish this. I got to be dead earnest and truly convicted, but you go into a church, if you watch the behavior of that church, you just watch the pastor while you'll usually find that the church acts like the pastor. Sometimes I wonder if we just don't get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. You get to a place where a pastor is real radical and carrying on, you find out the congregation's the same way. I'll bring you to a church where I see the pastor stand, jerk their heads back and forth. You watch the congregation. Yeah, I'll do that too. I don't jerk my head back and forth. But y'all hear me say, my. You hear something that don't sound just right? My. Watch the congregation. They do the same thing. You take a pastor, just gulp down anything. Usually the church will do the same thing. So if I was choosing a church, I'd choose a genuine, fundamental, full gospel, Bible church. I was choosing one to put my family in. Brother Branham had a situation there in his ministry where he kept having this dream over and over and over again. As he had this dream, he couldn't understand why God just kept bringing it to him. And eventually one day the Lord just kind of shared with him what it was all about. And the dream, he found himself working for the public service company. And while he was working for the public service company, he said just felt like he was always ratting on the job, like he wasn't doing all the work that he was supposed to be doing. And just different aspects of the dream would just kind of show him that. It's like, Lord, maybe, say, I don't know why I keep going back to that old company I used to work for. Why you keep taking me back there? I feel like I'm ratting on the job. I don't know what's going on. And he said, Lord, maybe it's not that job. Maybe it's your job. I'm ratting on your job. And ratting means I'm taking it easy. I'm not doing my work. I'm, you know, when you're supposed to be working, you hiding somewhere. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. But he said, I don't know why this dream keep coming back. So he said, Lord, I just need you to speak to me through your word. And he took the Bible and said, I don't usually do this, but God, I need something right now. Just open up the Bible and it hit Genesis chapter 24.
And there in Genesis chapter 24 is the story of Eliezer. He was Abraham's faithful servant. And Eliezer's job was to go in Genesis chapter 24 and find a wife for the promised son. Her name was Rebekah. And Eliezer prayed. He said, Lord, the woman that I, let it be the woman that would come out and give water to me as well as to my camels. Let her be the one that'll go back to Isaac. Well, here, as soon as he said amen to his prayer, here come Rebekah coming out to the well. Oh, could I get you some water and some water for your animals too? She said, oh, my God, you've already answered prayer. And Rebekah had a decision to make. The first time ever meeting this man. This man's telling her about, and Eliezer had certain gifts that he would give Rebekah. See, certain gifts. One was a bracelet on the hand. Another one was an earring that was for the nose, you know, for that time. And, you know, so he gave her these gifts. And see, same thing, and Brother Branham looking at it, when you look at his ministry, God gave him certain gifts. One gift that he would take the people by the hand and be able to tell them what was wrong with them. See, then he could, I mean, and then God gave him where he could just read, the, I mean, and tell you the thoughts of your heart and mind. See, God gave him certain gifts to for the bride of Jesus Christ. He could pray for the sick would recover. I mean, God gave him these gifts. See, so as Eliezer in the scripture, he prayed and, you know, and God showed him Rebekah. Rebekah got to a spot where they brought the decision to her. The choice was hers. Are you going to go with this man, Eliezer? Are you going to stay behind with us? Father, mother, brother, and the mother and brother was really, really, really critical trying to get her to stay. Said, no, well, we'll stay. Why don't you let her stay for 10 days? If she stays for 10 days, most likely she's going to change her mind. So right now, while the Spirit is moving, that's when it's time to do things. See, when God is moving on you, that's when you want to quickly do something about it right then. Don't wait. Don't reason it. Because when you reason it out, eventually you're going to change your mind. But as soon as God deal with you, be quick about doing whatever God told you to do. Be quick about it. And once you do it, don't even think about it no more. Just do what he told you to do and go on from there. Rebekah had to come to that decision. So, you know, Rebekah, will you go? Mama couldn't answer the question for her. Daddy couldn't answer the question for her. Brother couldn't answer the question for her. She had to answer it for herself. Will you go with this man to meet a husband that you've never seen before? They're just telling you about this man, but you don't know much about him. See, you ain't never seen him before. You ain't seen him on Facebook or nothing like that. But will you go by faith with this man? She believed the testimony of Eliezer. And I believe the testimony of what Brother Branham shared with us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's already gone to prepare a place for us. It's as a bride that's been adorned for her husband. Church, the same way that place is being prepared for us, we need to prepare to go to that place. And now is the time to do that. Make your choices, make them clear-cut choices, base them on the Word of God, and let's move forward the way God would have us to move forward. We got to make some right choices in life because that also affects our eternal choices. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this little study here tonight. Felt led to just go a different way, Father, as bringing to this the wife making herself ready in the city like a bride adorned for a husband. You told John, come, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. She's a one that's already made her choice. She's already begun to make preparation. She's already accepted it. She's made the decision. She's engaged. There's an invisible union taking place right now. The marriage is taking place. We're so grateful to know, Lord, that you would put the wedding band of grace on our fingers before we even came to earth. The same way that we had to make a choice, Lord, as to whether we're going to serve you or not serve you, whether we're going to follow you or not follow you, whether we're going to accept the message or not accept the message. Oh, God, that's the same way it happens in life. We just try to bring these types and show them. But help us, oh, God, to, amen, to walk in the fullness of our decision. Just like in marriage, there's good times, there's bad times, there's rough times. But Lord, no matter how hard it gets, we've made a commitment to stand with one another. Lord, let it be that same way with us as we walk with you. No matter how difficult the road gets, may we stand faithful, Lord, to your word, to your calling. We trust, Lord, that you just use these words just to help your people along the way, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. We just quickly...